And now, winner of 3 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Each and every Tuesday, Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com, joins us. You know, I put that poll up after Aaron Jones' second touchdown. I said, who's the most important, Aaron, Rodgers or Jones? And Nagler got a couple of votes. I will say, he got a couple of write-in votes. Aaron Nagler joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How you doing, man?
Aaron.
I'm doing well. It's good thing to know. It's good to know that some family members are following you and voting on that poll. So that's good.
Yeah, and I'm happy about it because any follower I get is like gold to me. So thank you to them as well. You can let them know.
Do you have the app where it tells you when you get new and maybe some followers fall off on Twitter?
Chuck, I'm incredibly vain. I have that app.
Definitely. You
do? Oh,
okay.
God, yeah.
I've never understood it. And it's always kind of funny how people have that and then they forget to check the settings and then every time, I don't know if there's some kind of automatic thing that says, today or this week, I lost 3 followers and gained 5 followers. Like, who cares, man?
Yeah, no, I don't tweet that out. I like to know who unfollows me because then I can unfollow them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're so petty.
All right. So you get disgusted when they don't follow you.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Usually, like, when I get a non-follow, it's like from some follower who's hiding behind some sort of meme. Some guy you never heard of before. Or it's like some porn star.
I'm not sure what
this
you want.
This is off to a fabulous
Aaron to say there.
Let's go to the Packers. Aaron, you probably were. I know last week when we left you that you were pretty pissed off at the game and you were throwing things at your TV or whatever. But this was this was probably a pretty calm weekend for you watching this game.
I would call her, no doubt about it. It was nice to see them commit to Aaron Jones, although it was the one game going in where you thought, okay, if they don't do it this week, they're never going to do it because the Dolphins had been allowing pretty much like over 5 yards per carry to every back they've faced for the last 6 weeks prior to facing the Packers. So, you figured this was going to be the week. If it was ever going to happen with Aaron Jones actually feeding him the football, which is funny because they still kind of didn't. I think he ran the ball like 14 times, something like that. He had 98 yards in the first quarter, and then he barely touched the ball in the second quarter because that's the way the Packers roll. But they were very efficient in the run game, put up a lot of points, kept them out of the end zone. You guys, what's not to like?
There, you know, with how much Aaron Jones got on offense, you think, okay, the free Aaron Jones movement is successful. It's worked. He will be your feature back. This is fantastic.
Right.
I look back then to last year. We were just looking at the stats before. He had that big game against Dallas. He had a big game against the Saints right around this time of the year. And then he had against the Lions 5 carries, against the Bears 3, against the Buccaneers 1, against the Browns 4, against the Panthers 3, the Vikings 3. Is there something we're missing why Mike McCarthy won't just fully commit to this guy?
Well, I think last year was very different in that. You know, he was a rookie, and I think his pass pro was a real issue. I think he's really improved in that area. I think even on Sunday, he saw some really nice work in the passing game, both in protection and out of the backfield, although he did drop the very first pass of the game. I think they really liked Jamal Williams last year. Of the 2 rookies, I think he was further along. But at this point, I don't think there's any doubt. The offense has to go through him. And as much as you look at that and you get frustrated, I thought Jamal Williams did a really good job down the stretch last year. So it's hard for me to fault them using Williams the way they did.
All right. I mean, do you think that he should be getting 20, 25 carries a game when you think the offense should go through him?
I would. But that's just me. I'm a crazy fan. You know, I'm sure that that's probably too much in this day and age. But hey, you know, I think there's zero doubt if they want to get this offense going, he's the thing he's going to stir the drink, you know, and eventually, hopefully, that helps open up the play action passing game. Although they can't block anybody up front whenever they go play action, there's always a breakdown somewhere whenever they go to the play action game. So eventually, hopefully, that gets kind of like, you know, buttoned up, and Rodgers can take advantage.
It's so hard, and this has been like the conversation we've been having throughout the years. We talked to Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, to criticize Rodgers because he is Rodgers. He's still he's making some great passes. He's making some great throws. But, he's still not at times. Did we see better from him on Sunday, or is he still a big reason why this offense seems disjointed?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I didn't see vastly different play from Rodgers on Sunday. I saw, like you said, like there were some throws. That second touchdown to Devontae, that's classic Rodgers. Set back there, get the top of the drop and rip it, and that's an undefensible pass. But then we also saw stuff like that late crosser to MVS. We basically threw behind him and into the ground. I mean, what the hell was that? That's not Aaron Rodgers. So that's the stuff where you see it and you think, he's just not right, man. I don't know, between seeing the field and making some of these throws look, I mean, just very, very poor, I just don't know. I don't know what's up with the guy. Hopefully, like I said, they can get Jones going, get him some easy looks, get him some open looks that are clearly defined, where he's not kind of second-guessing himself. Because going over the tape yesterday, plenty of opportunities left on the field, plenty of spots where, you know, he can get to the top of his drop and there's somebody breaking open. He just doesn't pull the trigger. And I don't know if he's seeing ghosts or what he's doing out there, but it's something that Aaron Jones and the running game should help open up.
Yeah, and Aaron's got to take it up a notch, obviously, if they're going to win either one of these games against Seattle or Minnesota in the next couple of weeks, man. They need to be him to be on top of things because they're going into two tough environments.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this game on Thursday night in Seattle, talk about a tough task. I mean, they got the late game on Sunday. Now you're turning around; they're leaving today for Seattle. I don't know how you do it as a coach. You know, you barely got you checked off your walking wounded basically. You cobble together a game plan. I know some of the guys in the locker room were talking about how it's all mental. I got to imagine it is because there's not much, in the way of physical practice they're going to get this week. They just got to turn around, fly across the country, and then go, play another game. I hate Thursday Night Football. I hate it. I hate it so much. But I know the league is never going to get rid of it because it's a really big moneymaker. So they got to swallow their pride here and go put on those Color Rush uniforms and hope for the best.
All right, calling those uniforms Color Rush, that's what pisses me off. It's just they're wearing white pants.
Yeah.
I know, but like...
It's not like they're all yellow or all green.
They're going to be going against Seattle, who's going to be like, radioactive yellow and green.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Color Rush game. Yeah.
Now, do you hate Sunday... Do you hate the Thursday night games because you don't want to watch Thursday night football, or do you hate it for the player's sake? Because you don't think it's good football?
For the player's sake, because it's like... I've talked to any players ever, played in the NFL, and they'll tell you. It's like being in multiple car crashes in one day, right? Playing a football game in the NFL. Now imagine how much it hurts you to do anything in life that resembles a car crash. And then, I mean, I've been in a car crash in my life, and I remember, thinking I wasn't, going to be able to move for 3 years. But, these guys do that, and then they turn around and do it a week later. But now, Thursday night football, they're doing it a couple days later, and rosters have to get pared down because of it. Guys who may have been able to play if they had a full week to recover aren't able to be up. So it's the competitive kind of nonsense that, this team should have beat that team, but, so-and-so players weren't available because of injury and blah, blah, blah. It just changes the whole thing. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm in, the middle of May and I'm jonesing for football, I mean, I'll take some Thursday night football. I don't care. But, in season, I hate it. I think it's nonsense, and I think most players agree.
I think when we look at this game against the Seahawks, I don't think the Packers are good at all. I think they're one of those bad teams, the best of the bad teams, that good-bad team sort of thing right now. And I think Seattle is there, too. Seattle ain't that good, but they are one of those teams that's not that good, and then you look at the end of the season, how'd they become 9-7? And when when the Packers are going out to Seattle and it's Thursday night and it's a short week, okay, that's probably a loss. And then people will say, well, Seattle's not that good either. All right, true, but it's still going to be Russell Wilson throwing on Tony Brown and Raven Green, it looks like. With the secondary being so banged up, I think that's a very key area for the Seahawks to exploit.
Well, and I think they're going to do it with their running game. But funnily enough, we're talking about Aaron Jones and opening things up. I think, you know, Seattle's offensive line has gotten a lot better from the last time the Packers faced them. And I think they're going to run the football, and they're going to make those young guys you just mentioned kind of, you know, bite up or look in the backfield, et cetera, and they're going to take advantage of play action. I mean, Russell Wilson's made a living out of that. And, I think the young guys, like I said earlier, it's all mental on Thursday night. And these guys have barely had any NFL action. So they're going to be thrown in the fire. They were on Sunday. They responded well. But this is going to be a whole other test. And I'm with you. I think it could get late real early.
See, what I think but bodes well for the Packers here, Seattle's been getting crushed with the run game the last couple of weeks. In fact, all year they haven't been all that good. But these last two games, I watched the Rams game and I watched the Chargers game, and teams are just pounding it right down their throats. So this bodes well for the Packers if that offensive line is able to create some holes for Aaron Jones on Thursday night.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And that's got to be the game plan. And the other thing it does is it's, you know, kind of shortens the game, keeps the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands. And look, they're going to need something to go their way. They're going to need a turnover, a lucky break. They're going to maybe a surprise onside, something to steal a possession, something to get momentum. Because look, it's still as middling as the Seahawks may be, that is still a really tough place to play. And Lord knows the Packers have had bad vibes going back a long time in that building. So they're going to need some luck and a ball to bounce their way once or twice to pull this off.
Do you look at this as a must win? I know that we throw that around a lot, but I just think that if they lose this game, you can still win the Viking game, who you are essentially tied with because of the tie. I mean, you're not going to have a tiebreaker with Seattle, and they're a division opponent, Minnesota. But even if you lose those both, the schedule lays out where you could win five in a row and be 9-6-1. I guess I don't look at it as a must-win game on Thursday because I don't see any chance that they do win the game. So I'm not gonna go there.
I'm going to quote Marv Levy. World War II was a must-win. A must-win. You know, it's going to be brutal. But it's an opportunity to see the Packers in prime time, which is always fun. Get together with some friends, have a beer, watch the Packers.
That's where we're at.
What more could you want?
Yeah. Yeah, on a Thursday night.
What more could you want?
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%.
Although with Russell Wilson on that side, I feel like Russell Wilson can go out there with a junior varsity team, and somehow that guy would still strike fear in my heart, man. When that guy's got the ball, he just seems to magically pull things off. Although last couple of weeks he hasn't done it, but that guy always seems to find a way to get it done.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of the better kind of off-script players we've ever seen. There are multiple plays you can pull up and look at things where he's got to be dead to rights, and he scrambles and does a really good job with angles and knowing, you know, it looks like he's going back forever, but then he cuts it up and gets out of bounds and gains a yard or two, or finds someone downfield. Yeah, he's a frustrating player to play against. There's no doubt about it. But hey, man, you know the Packers have a pretty good quarterback on their end too. It's just he needs to start playing like it. But yeah, Russell Wilson, he's the real deal. There's no doubt.
We're enjoying your work over at Cheesehead TV. We'll keep in touch with you. We'll talk to you next week. Aaron, appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Aaron.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Aaron Nagler, CheeseheadTV.com. And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right in here, right in our community since 1935. I want to tell you about the boys over at Hyundai West Dallas. Lots going on there in terms of how you can get a really good deal. There's a lot of different assets when it comes to buying a car. You want to make sure you like your car, right? Hyundai's got a great lot of vehicles. I've got the Santa Fe Sport. Enjoy it quite a bit. You can check those out and you'll fall in love with one, I'm sure. So the car part of it's good. The customer service part, huge. I mean, you don't want to go in there and, you know, not get the service that you should just basically get. They go way above and beyond. They've won awards for it. For customer service. And a lot of those guys over there have become friends. I trust those guys. When I have a problem with my car, they can help me out. If somebody wants a car, that's why I recommend them to you, because I know these guys pretty well, and they love sports, and you love sports, and I think it's a good match made there. I like to play Cupid on the car buying industry. But also, they can save you a bunch of money, and that's good too. They can save you a bunch of money. In November, when you mention us, when you mention me, when you mention the fan, okay, you'll get $1,000 off any new car in stock just by mentioning how you found out about them. Hyundai West Allis, Highway 100 in West Allis. So you can get $1,000 off by mentioning Bart or the fan. If you need some service work done, do the same thing. You'll get a free tire rotation with the purchase of an oil change. There's also more great Hyundai savings. There's also, if you're a veteran, Dan and I believe Chris, a couple of the guys over there have served. And so they're extending an offer. If you're a veteran, you can get another $1,000 off when you go to Hyundai West Allis. They're a big part of our toy drive coming up in a week and a half. You can drop off a new or unused toy, wrapped, not wrapped, but not out of the box, and they'll give you more savings. So there's just a ton of different ways to save at Hyundai West Allis, in addition to the convenience, in addition to the great cars, in addition to the customer service, all at Hyundai West Allis. Check them out, HyundaiWestAllis.com, Highway 100 in West Allis. Hey, let's talk a little Bucks, and let's do it with Gary Wolfel next. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Milwaukee Bucks off to a pretty good start, and I think I am underselling it there when I say that. Bucks are 10-3. Losses to the Clippers, who beat the Warriors last night. Loss to the Trailblazers, who also don't suck. And a loss to the Celtics, who are pretty good, too. 2-2 on the road trip. Gary Wolfel joining us, the West Coast trip. We're talking about that trip, what we thought it would be like. I thought they'd win three games. Gary, I think, said one. Chuck said two, and he was right. And of course, it wasn't the games that we thought they'd win, but a pretty good trip. Gary, how you doing?
Hey, Gary.
I'm doing well. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Gary, I mean, Brook Lopez, did people think his career was pretty much over when the Bucks got him for $3 million? Because, man, that guy has been unbelievable, especially beyond the arc with the way he's shooting threes. I don't remember him being this good.
No, but if you recall, Chuck, a couple of years ago, I know I touched about it in one of the stories I wrote, but and I think some other people did as well. The Bucks had interest in Brook Lopez when Jason Kidd was here, and Kidd really wanted to get him, but they just couldn't figure out a way in which to get him. And so it's not surprising that he ended up in Milwaukee. But he's having a terrific start. And I don't even know if he has to do anything else, right? Just sit on the perimeter and shoot three-pointers, and I guess he's well worth his $3 million.
Well, I remember when he first came into the league, he was just a around-the-rim type of guy. But I guess he had to reinvent himself because that's not the way it's played anymore.
Yeah, and the other thing that was funny was that there was a lot of rumors flying around this summer that they were going to go after Robin, his twin brother, that they were going to try to pull off some deal, perhaps even with Parker involved before he signed, you know, with the Bulls. But, man, I'll tell you what, he's been a godsend. I mean, he's Jack Sigma reincarnated, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, even better, though. I mean, Super Jack liked to pump the threes. He was the point center of Don Nelson, but, man, this is I mean, 8 of 13 from beyond the arc in Denver tonight, that's totally unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. He just hope for the Bucks' sake he can keep it up because, I mean, from his career standpoint, I think he's only like a 32% three-point shooter, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that ballpark. But, yeah, I mean, like I said before, he's been a godsend for this team.
Talking with Gary Wolfel, you can check him out, wolfelspressbox.com. Gary, you've covered, and I think have had a pretty good relationship with John Henson over the years. Nice little back and forth back at Media Day between the two of you. To see him shooting threes, is that insane? I mean, did you ever think you'd see him willingly and shoot about 40% from beyond the arc like this?
It is insane. That is a good word. You know, but Budenholzer has just said, you know, throwing caution to the wind, and he's giving his team, you know, free rein on offense, and it's going to be very interesting to see how teams, you know, defend the Bucks going forward. Kind of like, you know, a starting pitcher in baseball. You know, after he's gone through the first through the lineup for the first time, second time, you know, hitters usually have a pretty good idea what's going to be brought to them. So it's going to be very curious if they put guys on Lopez now and try to run him off the three-point line, and if they let Henson open. I mean, I talked to a couple NBA guys, and they're not buying the Henson three-point stuff. They said, hey, if he wants to shoot him, go right ahead.
Well, he's making some of them. He's shooting well.
Yeah, at this point he is, you know. But again, this is what some other NBA people are telling me that, you know. In fact, I saw one game where I forgot who they played, but the guy that was guarding Henson didn't even make an attempt to go out and guard him. I mean, that was part of the game plan.
Yeah, here's what you do with guys like that. You hope he hits the first three because then he's going to go out there again.
That's what people were thinking about Brook Lopez to start the season,
yeah.
And now he's bombing him from 40 feet out.
I don't know. I think John Henson, I'll continue to let him shoot threes.
Yeah, that's a philosophy a lot of teams have. I mean, they're going to let him go and you know, even like DiVincenzo, they're saying, hey, back off from DiVincenzo until he proves that he can shoot the three consistently well. They're going to give him the shot. They're not going to guard him as tightly as they would other players.
I'll give John Henson a 10-footer at this point. I tell you, his best shot is a tip-in.
So okay, what about Giannis? Now, how come nobody ever talks about Giannis and his three-point shooting?
Well, he's the guy who I just think
Gary, people do. I'm following Twitter on Sunday night, okay?
Yeah.
And Bucks fans are just having the meltdown of meltdowns and blaming Giannis for the loss that never happened. But the three-point shooting people are worried about, and his free-throw shooting is also very poor right now.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is playing well. I mean, anybody that thinks he's not playing well is, you know, delusional. But there are areas of his game that he definitely has to improve, and three-point shooting is one of them. And I remember talking to him and a couple other guys, you know, a couple of years ago when Kidd was here, and Kidd made it abundantly clear to him and Parker in particular and a couple other guys that he did not want them to shoot the three under any circumstance, okay? I mean, Kidd was not convinced that Giannis could be a three-point shooter, but, you know, Budenholzer has more of a carefree attitude, and he's given him that freedom.
Yeah, but do the Bucks really need him to be a three-point shooter since he's so good in other areas? And, you know, aside from LeBron, I want to say Giannis is probably the second best player in the league at getting his own to the lane.
Yeah, Durant, you know, somebody
Durant
like that.
Durant, too, yeah. Well, but I'm Giannis, man. Not only does he get to the lane, but he gets it all. He gets to the lane and finishes it with a dunk.
Yeah. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm about to say, because I'm sure somebody will. But he's Moses Malone. You know what I'm saying? He's just the beast around the basket. What is he shooting around the basket? Some extraordinarily high percentage.
Yeah. I mean, two different types of same height.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Don't misconstrue. But I'm saying they are around the basket type scorers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm Budenholzer, I tell Giannis, cool it. You know, take your mid-range jumper, you know, but play to your strengths and go down low.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, talking with Gary Wolfel here, wolfelspressbox.com. We talked a lot about the East last week with you, and I high on Toronto, high on Boston, high on the Bucks. And, you know, I kind of wrote off Philly. I didn't think they did enough. Well,
why would you write off Philly?
I didn't think they did enough. I thought they got worse.
They have two of the best young players in the game.
Well, now they added Jimmy Butler.
Now they got three, yes.
How much do you think that shakes up the East, that move? Because their depth is poor. Their defense is going to be very good with him, but they are not a deep team.
Right. Well, I don't know. I guess you could debate that too. I mean, not as deep as some teams, but I think their bench is pretty solid. Amir Johnson, T.J. McConnell, you know, and now Wilson Chandler. I mean, Wilson Chandler is a pretty darn good player. People just didn't realize that, but because he played in Denver, you know, in the Western Conference, we don't see him a lot. But I thought that was one of the best off-season pickups by any team.
Yeah, plus their coach. I like Brown, their coach.
Absolutely.
They've stuck with him through losing seasons, and I think he's darn good, man. I think he's a good fit for that team. And
you think he has a burner account?
A coach, does he? He seems kind of paranoid.
Do you, Gary?
After Jerry Colangelo or Brian Colangelo got bounced for his burner account, who knows?
What's your burner account, Gary? I forgot.
You know what? I'd be curious, though. You guys are probably better aware of this. How many do you think the Bucks have? You
know, no, the Bucks don't need a burner account. They just do it right from their account.
Yeah, there you go. But I would be curious to see how many teams, I'm sure every team does, have burner accounts and try to sway, you know, public opinion, you know, on these websites.
So you didn't deny that you have one?
I don't have one.
Bart does this little trick where he says, "Hey, Bart, Gary, what was your burner account again?" I mean, some drunk guy at a bar in Fond du Lac might fall for that, but I mean,
right?
He's tried to get me to follow that for three years, and it doesn't work.
No one's gonna fall for it. No.
I mean, seriously, if you have to resort to burner accounts in your life, it's a pretty sad life.
yeah, but Bart's right. The Bucks just go at it.
Chuck, what was your burner account again?
Yeah.
Okay, Bart, do you have one?
Has it worked?
I don't. No, Bart, you. I know everyone thinks I've got like 15 of them.
I would think you do.
I promise you, okay. I have no burner accounts.
What would I possibly accomplish with a burner account? I can't even get my regular account updated.
Yeah, but you know, when like people start coming after one of us, then we can defend ourselves from a fake account. I mean, that's pretty much the whole point.
But if I got like one follower on it, does it...
Like if somebody comes and says, "Hey, Chuck Freeman, your hair is fake."
Yeah.
And you're tired of answering that question.
Which I'm tired of answering,
but you hate getting it, so then from your burner account, you'd say, like when I saw you tweet, what did you tweet to some guy the other day about his double chin?
Oh, I said, yeah. I said, you're talking, some guy tweeted about my hair. He said to me, you know, your hair, what are we going to do something about your hair? And first of all, my hair should be the least of your concerns. If you're worried about my hair, then, you know, you got some problems.
Yeah, he said, Chuck said, on a Saturday morning. You have those two chins on your face.
And I said, you ought to take care of those two chins. And I mean, oh, just yeah. Real. I mean, unreal.
Yeah. See, Chuck doesn't.
It's
need
like
a
having hair today
either.
is a bad thing. Used to make fun of the bald guys, but today we make fun of the guys we've got here.
So, Chuck, what's the key to your great hair?
Hereditary.
There you go.
And wash it every day.
Good point.
And listen to REO Speedwagon, I guess.
So what was your take on the Butler trade? I'll tell you mine real quickly. I think if any team was hurt more by the Butler trade, it was the Bucks, and I'll tell you why. Every time they play them, the one distinct advantage they had was Chris Middleton going against whether it was Covington or Saric, okay, or whoever they threw, you know, at the small forward spot. Now I think he's going to be neutralized. I mean, Jimmy Butler's you know, that good of a defender.
He's a defensive player of the year, all defensive team.
Absolutely. He's outstanding. So I think if any team was hurt more by this trade, it was Milwaukee.
Yeah, I did not want to see Jimmy come to the East. I was hoping he'd stay out west, maybe go to Houston. I did not. I when I saw the alert come on my phone Saturday, I was not happy that he was coming to Philadelphia and making them a better team. He really does. And add him, like you said, add him to those two other stars in the team, Simmons and Embiid, and he got something there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and there's still rumblings they're going to go out and try to get a shooter. Now, if they do, you know, that'll make it really interesting because I tend to agree with Bart because they lost some good players. I mean, Covington, Saric, you know, they can play. They're solid. And, you know, they're good three-point shooters. So that's a part of their game that's going to be affected by this deal. But nevertheless, if they can go out and get a veteran, you know, shooter, you know, they're going to be awfully tough.
Follow him on Twitter, Gary Wolfel, and only Gary Wolfel. Gary, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Gary Wolfel joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Now, why is that so bad? That's some good basketball conversation. How can you be hating on that? That's what I'm asking.
I mean, who's hating on it?
All Bucks fans since the dawn of time.
So you're saying every Bucks fan hates Gary? That's ridiculous.
Yes.
That's ludicrous.
Go online.
It's ridiculous.
Gary is not well liked.
Stupidity.
Don't get mad at the messenger.
I'm just saying stupidity.
I love Gary.
Well, I don't know. I questioned it once in a while. You came at him with the fifth seed the other day, picking the Bucks for the fifth seed, and I didn't think that was a big of a deal.
Well, I had a. What am I supposed to do? Just agree with everything the guy says? Never ask him about anything?
No. But I mean, him picking the Bucks for the fifth seed, where people are coming after him. Man, he wasn't the only one. I thought he was generous by giving him the fifth spot.
All right, then I guess I'll just be on the sideline and let you.
No. I'm just saying, for him to pick I'm not just saying you, but I'm saying you or anybody else who picked them, who got a Gary for picking them fifth in the East, is I didn't think that was that big of a deal.
Well, that's why he did something. He had an opinion, and I asked him about his opinion.
Well,
I think that's okay.
Yeah, it is. But they still might finish fifth.
Okay, maybe. Well, then Gary can take a victory lap.
Yeah, we'll see. Only 13 games into the season. Long way to go.
I don't think they will. I like Gary's point about, you know, neutralizing Middleton now when the Bucks play the Sixers. And I think after that Sixers loss to the Bucks, they realize we're not with these guys. We got to do something.
Sixers are bouncing back a little bit since that slow start.
Well, I haven't seen who they played. Bucks, though, Bucks schedule coming up. A lot of games at home.
Yeah.
I think they had the toughest schedule up to that point through Sunday.
Yeah, people thought that they played some weak teams. I didn't think so. And going on the West Coast this early in the season, that was a tough stretch that they just accomplished there.
Yeah, the Clippers aren't bad, and Portland's not bad either. I don't know why. Just because.
That was a tough stretch.
It's like you guys only give credit to the Warriors and then the Celtics. You can't lose to any other team in this league.
They beat Indiana on opening night. They beat Philadelphia at home. They beat a few good teams. They go out and beat Denver the way they did the other night and hold them off, and they've had some impressive wins, beating Golden State.
Maybe you lose to the Grizzlies on Wednesday, 7-5 Grizzlies.
They haven't lost it. What? Yeah, all their losses were all three on the road. Yeah. So
maybe you lose to the Bulls on Friday. You never know.
Hey, you never know in the NBA. Jabari's return.
Bucks fans just need to. Yeah. Your life does not depend on the outcome of every game. Okay. Every possession.
Is that what you're finding out?
That's what Bucks fans act like their life depends on every possession.
Hey, like I told you before, like last year, there was a time when Bucks fans didn't care about any possession, and especially this early in the season. So if they care, that's fine.
I want to talk a little more Bucks with you, Freems, if you'll indulge. Because they are getting very high in these power rankings.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do the old Bart Winkler move and fast forward to April and talk to you about how the Bucks match up with some of these teams.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do that coming up. You guys can chime in. Want to know which teams right now you still give the edge to the opponent if the Bucks were to match up with them in a 7-game set? We'll stay in the East. We'll stay in the East. The Sixers, could they beat the Bucks in a 7-game set? The Raptors, the Pacers, the Hornets, the Celtics. We'll talk to you guys about that. Talking Bucks, 799-1250.
Chuck and Winkler. Served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Just had Gary Wolfel on. I got to read you this tweet from Santo because I forgot. I just forgot. Santo says, tell Chuck it's the hate on Gary's article, the infamous article, has nothing to do with the Bucks finishing fifth. What people were mad about is that the article said the Bucks would be in the Eastern Conference Finals if they kept Jabari Parker. So that's what people were mad about.
All right, well, that's the first time I've heard anybody being mad because of that reason. Everything I've heard about it, mostly from you on here on the show, is that...
I didn't do a good enough job conveying that.
Okay.
But they were mad that they took him fifth, and then a big part of that, which we did approach last week in the interview, was because... Gary was on Jabari.
Well, you and I both were high on Jabari, too. And we didn't want to see Jabari go. I mean,
no, I wanted Jabari to stay. I did.
We both
I wanted
did.
Jabari to play.
I did not want him to see him go.
In the more in that Celtics series. And yeah. I died on that hill until the very end, and some of it was because I had an unhealthy infatuation, an obsession with making sure Dean was wrong. From all the Bucks, I didn't like how he was very anti-Jabari, and so I doubled, tripled, quadrupled down in Jabari Parker.
So, so you were doing it because of a blogger?
I wouldn't say a blogger. It's 2018. I would say a guy on Twitter.
Okay.
Dean, all the Bucks.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot on the station.
Okay. Dean, what's his last name?
I don't know. He's French.
Jabari, I wish he was, I think his career is, I don't think his career is over. Well, I just don't know what's going on with him in Chicago, why he's off to a bad start there in many ways.
when Jabari left and it was clear that maybe the Bucks dodged a situation there, right? And even I gave up on it, and you and my boy Sith Lord. Gary was still the one guy lighting the candle for Jabari, and so that people were mad about that.
Yeah.
That's why that happened.
What's sad to see is the Bucks spent a second pick overall in the draft, the 2014 draft, and the guy didn't live out more than his rookie contract with the team and was injured twice, and we never really got to see the superstar that we thought was going to happen with Parker and being one of the building blocks in him and Giannis. We never saw that. Never saw it happen. Whereas the picks around him, the first and the third picks, have all been pretty good.
Well, this is one of the problems that we have when we talk about player. And when I say we, I mean you and me, and I mean all fans of our sports. I wanted Jabari Parker to work out, and it really mattered to me because of what the Bucks spent to get him. A second round pick, or a number two pick.
And tanking it the year before.
That's got to work out.
Tanking it the year before.
That's got to work out because of the sunk cost fallacy. If you put cost into a guy and it doesn't work out, you're going to do whatever you can to make sure that it does work out. It didn't with Jabari. A.J. Hawk is a guy who was number five overall and had, a pretty decent career as a linebacker in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always held to this higher standard because of where the Packers took him. Chris Middleton, I think sometimes, I don't know if you've fully coming around on Chris Middleton, because what did it cost to get him? He was the throwing in the Brandon Knight trade, and he wasn't a guy that we drafted. So he's always kind of just been like an extra nice piece. So we don't, you know, Chris Middleton's not one of our guys. I feel like maybe you come at that angle.
But I thought, I mean, Chris Middleton I always knew had some talent. The guy was a terrific player coming out of high school, a terrific player in college, and got off to a little slow start with the Pistons, and they gave up on him. But he was always a guy who had some talent, and with a lot of talent. And it wasn't until he came to Milwaukee that we saw what he could do. But because he was down in the D-League early in his career when he's with the Pistons. But when he came to Milwaukee, he was the guy we saw at when he played at South Carolina, when he was a Mr. Basketball down there for a couple of years in a row, I think his junior and senior year. And then when he went to college, he was a pretty good player.
What I'm saying is that he's very fan of us, and this is the way that fans act, and this is the way that a lot of people in life act and in business act, and it's just human nature that if we invest a lot into something, we care more about watching it succeed. We invested a lot into the number two pick. So, yeah, mm-hmm. At one point I said pay Jabari $20 million because I didn't want the number two pick to be a failure. And with Chris Middleton, now that the NBA salaries are up to $25, $30 million for him, more people are going to be prone to say, no. But if he was the number two pick and was still the same exact player, there'd be more people willing to pay him because you want that to work out. That's just a part of human nature.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, you want to talk about the playoff pairings here?
Yeah, I guess the specific question that we're throwing out there, and you guys can chime in on what we were just talking about too, the specific question is, who in the East do you still think right now could take the Bucks in a 7-game set? So the playoffs started today, sort of thing.
I think all those teams would give the Bucks a run, but at the same token, the Bucks don't have to take a back seat, I don't think, to anybody. I saw Toronto play last night against New Orleans, and the Bucks could beat Toronto, and you know, we've seen them do it. I think Philly's going to be interesting to see how Butler chimes in with those guys. But I think the Bucks can beat all these teams in the playoffs part. And the only team I think that they could really have a difficulty with, I'm with Gary on that one, with Philadelphia. We're going to see how good, and if Butler doesn't fit in there, then you know the Bucks would have the edge. But Philadelphia is really, really good, I think, with Jimmy Butler.
With the Bucks, I'm there with them. I think that they can go to the finals, and I think that they can, go through some tough battles, but ultimately get past all of these teams. I think if Toronto's got home court in a 7-game series, I might predict Toronto to take that one. I'm just very high on Toronto. They still only have one loss or two losses now. Did they lose last night?
Yeah, they got beat.
They lost last night to New Orleans.
They got beat by New Orleans, who beat them pretty good in Toronto.
All right, so New Orleans and then the Bucks. So they're 12-2, but I like their depth, and then Kawhi is a top five guy in this league. So I'm big on Toronto. I think if they had home court advantage, I might go with Toronto. Boston, I do like the Bucks against Boston, no matter where that series is played. Watching these games, the eight of them now that we've watched since April, the Boston Celtics do have an advantage with Al Horford. Bucks have a hard time against him, but I think that luck has to run out at some point from Boston's perspective. Philly's a big question mark. How is Philly going to match up now? Their depth is not that great, but Jimmy Butler is going to cause some different looks and problems than the Bucks are used to, so I'm excited to see those two teams match up again. I don't know what that would be like, but nobody else would even come close to scaring me.
I think we have to see who gets better at the trading deadline. If who picks up some of these pieces from bad teams and improves themselves. And I think the Bucks will probably do that too. You know, we'll see what happens, just like baseball, what happens at the trading deadline and who's going to get better. But right now, yeah, Bucks don't have to take a backseat to anybody. I'm talking, they don't take a backseat to anybody in the NBA.
799-1250, let's get out to Ram on the north side. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Bart? What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, good Ram. To talk to you.
You know, I listen to you guys every morning on my way to work. I'm sitting here at the house. I listen to 107.5. You got a really solid sports talk show.
I'd start listening to 105.7, though.
105.7. Yeah, I got it right. I got to get it right.
Or 1250 on the AM or the radio.com app. Ram, wherever you go, we're there.
Bart, you're funny as hell, man. I just wanted to say this. You I don't know if you do stand-up. I think I heard you say you just got a different sense of humor, man. But you keep stuff real, man. But I'm going to say this. I read his stuff on Twitter. You know, we go back and forth sometimes. But me being a basketball guy and a former player, even at the college level, what I see, the Bucks have got more competitive. But I think that closer in the fourth quarter, a guy that can get to the line, slow the cop down, add points, we don't have that. And you saw that in the Clipper game. And then you saw it in the Portland game. Is that when we play against teams that got solid backcourts, we get shredded. And I'm not going to put the Golden State game in there because they didn't have all their pieces. So the question is, will they do that with Cousins and Curry being healthy? That's what I want to see.
But now, did Curry go into that game with a little bit of an injury, or did he get hurt in that third quarter?
He got hurt in the third quarter.
Okay, but the Bucks are already in control of that game then.
Yeah, they had the game in control. I mean, but you know that's the one game. But remember, they're in a different conference. You only play them two times. But now we're in the finals. I don't see Golden State having two bad games in a row.
Yeah, we beat that Golden State team, even if without Draymond, and then Steph got hurt later.
No Draymond, right? No Draymond.
Still that's a great team you beat. But yeah. If you match up against them in the finals, yes, Draymond's going to play. And then, oh, by the way, let's just give them DeMarcus Cousins. So, yeah.
Draymond Green, but, you know, they're the champ. They're the student, so they know what to do. Now, in the East, man, I don't know, Bart. I still think the Celtics got us. I just think they got better athletes and can score. They may not be as great as shooters, but when they played against the Bucks this last time, Kyrie just put a number on them.
Yeah, Kyrie scares the hell out of me. That guy don't miss ever.
And Stevens is a hell of a coach, but Stevens, the best thing he does is make halftime adjustments and realizes matchups. But Budenholzer is pretty good in that area too.
Yeah, he is. With what he got right now, I think he's done a remarkable job. I think he went way over top what most people couldn't even expect. But the last thing I'm gonna say, I'm just not with Lopez shooting all these threes.
But he's bombing. He's making them.
You think they're going to run dry?
Yeah. Well, in the Golden State game, the Bucks were on 8-34. They were 8-34.
Yeah, but
look
what they got in the paint. They set a franchise record for most points in the paint in that game, though.
Yeah, but Draymond Green wasn't there either now. He's their top defender.
I hear you. But, hey.
Thanks, Ram.
This is a Budenholzer thing, too. He realized, hey, the best way to beat these guys tonight is getting to the lane and scoring, and they did it repeatedly.
799-1250. Aloha, KJ.
Hey, KJ.
Hey, so when are you going out to Seattle?
Tomorrow.
What time?
In the morning.
Are we?
I'm flying to Denver, and I connect from Denver to
Oh, I almost did the Denver connection, but I wanted to do Vegas so I could gamble.
Oh,
but
Vegas a little further, though.
Well, I wanted to gamble.
You went a little further south, but
yeah. Yeah, no, that's why I didn't go the Vegas route, because I didn't want to lose all my money before I got.
You mean on the slot machines?
Yeah, in the airport.
Oh, I hate slot machines.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and I think that your layover's longer.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a couple of hours.
All right.
So I don't know how long.
KJ and I are going to hook up in Seattle.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. How about that?
So, anyway, good morning, Bart and Chuck. Listen, the Boston Celtics worry me if they the Bucks face him, only because of Kyrie Irving. They don't have anyone that can really match up with him, his quickness. And as we know, the Bucks have problems with fast guards, especially ones that can shoot. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. So I don't know about that matchup. And the other one would be Toronto. And the reason why I say that is Kawhi Leonard. And we don't have anyone that can really match up with Kawhi Leonard on the court, along with whatever other pieces they have. You know, they got Lowry still. I think they could get Toronto if it went seven, if they got to seven. I think they could beat them this year. Experience that they had with Toronto in that series that they lost was probably invaluable for the Bucks, you know, going forward in the playoffs, as well as Boston. But I just don't like the Kyrie Irving deal with Boston. I know a lot of people think that, you know, the Bucks can pretty much have their way with Boston, but I don't know, man.
No, nobody in the playoffs, while I still think they could beat Boston, nobody scares me more than Kyrie.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Sure.
Just
for
the
sure.
way that he, I don't know. I'm watching him against, you know, in the finals the last few years, and just that game on the Thursday night a couple weeks ago, Kyrie, I don't ever see him miss.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't stay healthy, then Boston's in trouble. But if he stays healthy, yeah, they're a tough out. Man, there's a lot of teams that are going to be a tough out in the East. A lot of teams. I think Indiana still hasn't been heard from yet.
But it is interesting, and I think KJ alluded to it, and thanks for the call. We'll see you in a couple days. The two teams that the Bucks have played in the playoffs the last couple of years, it happens to be those teams that are going to be right there at the top with the Celtics and then with the Raptors. And then now, of course, as we've been talking about, we'll see where the Sixers line up there. A lot of good basketball to discuss as we get into the dulls of winter. A little cold today, should be a little warmer tomorrow, but these kind of days are going to be warm in a couple of weeks. We're going to be wishing for cold days like this. So get into Sound Decisions while you can and get that jump start on the holiday rush, the Black Friday rush coming up. They've got their sales and discounts as well, but they've got even more right now for you guys. Make sure you do let them know that you heard about them on The Fan. They'll take care of you. We've had our first taste of winter. Temperatures dipping down to the teens, so now is the time to get that remote car starter. So the remote car starter will start up your vehicle before you get in it, thus warming up the vehicle before you get in it as well, whether it's early in the morning when it's dark out on your way to work or when it's in the afternoon when it's dark out on your way home. You'll be able to warm up your car with that remote car starter. Sound Decisions, 262-633-8300. 262-633-8300. Sound Decisions. Check them out on Facebook. The website is brightpinkmailbox.com. There is a backstory behind that. Chris will tell you about that as well. They do it all when it comes to sound systems. They've been doing that since 1972 in your vehicle. But the remote car starters, they now sell more than anybody else. They offer the leading brands. The pricing is competitive. And you can just hang out in their comfortable waiting area while you get it done. It doesn't take more than shouldn't take more than 2 hours. Sound Decisions, check them out. For peace of mind and a warm and toasty car this winter, check out a remote car starter from Sound Decisions. We've got a lot to discuss yet, including some Milwaukee Brewers. One projection already out for the 2019 season. And if it comes true, we're going to be in for a long summer. We'll talk about that coming up. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.